I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Saturday.
Saturday! Oh, it's Saturday! Oh, it's Saturday! Oh, it's Saturday!
He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. And last night, the Rockets could. Blowing the Lakers off the floor as that game extended and went on, winning game one. Now, we've learned our lesson, I think, I would hope, about the reaction to game one. Not in general, like with certain series, but when you're talking about a LeBron James team, especially, that happened against Portland. It's happened a lot in recent years, where the game one performance is a feel-out game of some sort. And that could be the case here. But Houston's not Portland. Houston's not Portland. And we got to give the Rockets some credit. The Rockets, you know, look, they had to go to game seven with Oklahoma City. And the entire thing almost blew up in their face. Almost blew up in their face. But they were able to get through that game. And now, you know, they caused some matchup problems for the Los Angeles Lakers, given the fact that, one, you know, the Lakers tend to matchup hunt against them. That's now a pattern that's happened over a few games, where they look for Anthony Davis so much because of the size advantage that it sort of takes them out of rhythm. On the other side, you know, the Rockets are a handful to deal with their speed, with their shooting, with the fact that they completely spread the floor. And defensively, I think that's where Houston deserves the most credit. Defensively, the Rockets are a very good team. And I guess it sort of runs counter to what people would expect because they're smaller. You know, their tallest guy, their center, is 6'7" or something like that. You know, Covington and P.J. Tucker being their bigs on the floor. But what it does allow them to do is switch everything so that they're constantly in the right position. All of those guys are of like a similar build. I mean, none of those guys are small and diminutive. They're not starting, you know, they don't have Isaiah Thomas out there. Not Pistons Isaiah Thomas, but, you know, Celtics, Cavaliers, Sacramento Kings Isaiah Thomas. They don't have a guy like that out there. So that they have size and strength, and Tucker's able to body players. And then there's strategy where last night, I think Frank Vogel deserves a ton of criticism. I think that was an abysmal and concerning performance from the Lakers head coach. That would be my biggest concern if I was assessing it for the Lakers going forward in this series. Vogel's rotations, because Rajon Rondo last night played 25 minutes, something like that. which is borderline insanity. That was insane that Rondo played that number of minutes. I mean, he hasn't really played in a high-level basketball game since, like, March. And the Lakers had been playing well, obviously, as evidenced by them beating Portland in five. And Alex Caruso had been playing very well off of LeBron James. You know, he'd been playing very well off of LeBron because he doesn't need the ball. I mean, he cuts well without the ball. He's a good defensive player. He competes. I think the one thing I need to see from Caruso consistently is hitting those open spot-up threes. But overall, he had been a valuable player and a very nice fit next to LeBron. The thing with Rondo is he takes the ball out of LeBron's hands. I mean, Rondo is completely worthless if he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So when he comes into the game, he takes it into his own hands. And he also doesn't space the floor because he doesn't shoot and people play off him. So I just can't understand how you could have a guy who's not a great fit and hasn't played well with the team all year, is clearly past his prime, and hadn't played in months, and then you completely overhaul your rotation to thrust him in and play him 20-something minutes. That is a lot. And so, therefore, the Lakers are down one game to none when it comes to this series with the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, I dig the fact that they've tried this and it's working for them. And in so many ways, it's the way the modern game is played, right? It's five guys out. No traditional big. No wasting time hunting for somebody on the block and competing, getting after loose balls defensively, switching, all that stuff. They've been the best defense in the playoffs by the numbers. Shouts to Mike D'Antoni and James Harden for going up against reputations there in the way that all went down. So, I mean, the same question you ask after any game one loss for a high-profile team, I suppose, is the one that's appropriate here. Are the Lakers in trouble? Are the Lakers in trouble after game one to the Houston Rockets? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I mean, generally, like I said, with a James-led team, game two is going to be very important to see. If we see more of what we saw last night in game two, then at that point, I'll believe the Rockets are going to win the series. Not that they could, that they're going to win the series. But LeBron's history of sort of filling out a game one and Frank Vogel's inexplicable rotations. I think I even see LeBron or saw LeBron look at Vogel and say, there's no spacing on the floor at one point. That's going to have to change. That's going to have to change. And you just can't be playing Rondo those sort of minutes. Kyle Kuzma has to be better. But overall, an impressive win from the Houston Rockets, who really saved their reputation in a lot of ways, right? I mean, if they had lost in that first round series, that's why I said it was a referendum on their whole organization. I mean, Daryl Morey has done a very good job as their GM, but he's been, you know, embroiled in a lot of conversation over the last year or so, especially after the China tweet thing. And he traded Chris Paul, right, to get Westbrook after trading for Chris Paul. And he had to attach assets to move Chris Paul to get Westbrook. Mike D'Antoni has been knocked as, you know, not necessarily the best playoff coach as the games get more important. And James Harden has been knocked as not necessarily the best playoff player as the games get tighter. And Russell Westbrook, you know, he hasn't been out of the first round since Kevin Durant was on his team. Therefore, I mean, that the entire state of the franchise was hinging on how they played in that Game 7. They didn't even play particularly well, but they were able to make it out of there. But, you know, they've sort of found their groove against the Lakers in Game 1. So we'll see how that series shapes out. But a good start for Houston, a bad one for L.A. To me, the biggest concern is the head coach for the Lakers in Frank Vogel. You know, personnel-wise, too, they do – if you're talking about a flaw for the Lakers, they don't have a, you know, a third guy. They don't have another player that you trust night in and night out. Or another couple players you trust night in and night out. They've got two guys who are capable of absolutely monstrous performances and can do that night in and night out. But after that, it's a roll of the dice. Because, you know, I mean, I like KCP. Danny Green's a proven veteran player, but he's older. JaVale McGee started for the Warriors, obviously, but not exactly the guy that's perfect next to Davis when you're starting a game and you got two bigs out there. Kuzma, a little inconsistent over the course of his career. Rondo, I don't know why he was playing. You know, Caruso, like I said, nice player, but not the guy that's going to light you up on the offensive end. Dwight Howard is a big, you know, so they don't have a guy or guys that you're sure of performing night in and night out. The other game from last night, I don't know if I'm surprised that Miami is going to win that series against Milwaukee. Like, if you had told me the Heat were going to win that series, that wouldn't have shocked me. I can't tell you I would have expected 3-0. 3-0, where the Miami Heat have absolutely outplayed the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, in essentially every facet of that game, of the game. And, you know, it's led to the conversations it typically does when you've got a star player involved. And Giannis is taking some of that heat. He's getting that superstar treatment. Now, it's about much more than just Giannis's performance. I mean, Coach Mike Budenholzer, he also is another guy who has had really good success in the regular season, but not so much in the playoffs. I mean, you go back to Atlanta. Those Atlanta Hawks teams lit the league up, right? They were winning 60 games or whatnot. And then getting swept or gentlemen swept in the playoffs. Now, they didn't have a Giannis in his defense, but now we're seeing the same sort of things with his tenure in Milwaukee. So that's a question. Then beyond Giannis, I mean, did we ever, you know, did we overhype the Bucks roster a little bit because of their record? Probably, right? I mean, same thing I was just saying about L.A., I mean, Chris Middleton's been okay in that series, but, you know, some of those other guys, I don't think Eric Bledsoe is not a dependable shooter. George Hill's a nice player, but at this point, essentially a journeyman. Same, you know, Wes Matthews. Brook Lopez really reinvented his game. I mean, that's impressive. But when you talk about the whole of that roster, those names aren't exactly instilling fear in the opposition. Nevertheless, you know, Giannis is supposed to be the, you know, two-time MVP. He's about to be the back-to-back MVP. And his team is getting blown off the floor down the stretch of games. And he can't create for himself off the dribble. And that's the real big problem. That's because I believe you cannot truly be the MVP of the NBA in today's day and age if you can't get your own shot. I mean, that's what we see. You know, we've seen consistently from LeBron over the years, what you see from Kawhi Leonard, and what you saw from Jimmy Butler. I mean, the Heat are playing together. They're playing on a string. They're playing hard. You know, that they've got some versatility in their lineups. They've got a guy who's given Giannis some trouble in Bam Adebayo. They've got shooting. You know, they've gotten a resurgent performance from Goran Dragic. They've got a lot going for them, and they look really good. Miami looks really, really good. And then they got Jimmy Butler, who's been the best player on the floor down the stretch of these games. I mean, I've always loved Jimmy and his game. I think a lot of the negatives of his reputation, I always said I'd take five Jimmy Butlers on my team, because if his biggest character flaws is he wants to win a little bit too much, or, you know, he can rub guys the wrong way if they're not winning or something along those lines, I'll sign up for that. Because everywhere he's been, he's won. How have the Chicago Bulls been since Jimmy Butler left? You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves have made the playoffs like one time in the last 15 years. It was the one time he was there, the one year he was there. Philadelphia last year, you know, was a bounce away from possibly being right there to beat Toronto. And now Philadelphia had, by all accounts, a disappointing year. What changed? I mean, a couple of things changed, but the most significant is Jimmy Butler not there. And now all of a sudden, Miami is competing. And Butler was out there creating for others. He's out there getting his own shot. He can get to the free throw line. He just helps the team in so many ways. Competes on the defensive end. Goes after loose balls, everything. Jimmy Butler's just a good basketball player. And there was a quote I saw from Myers Leonard of the Heat afterwards, and he said, "We have the best player in the series," which, if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, that's got to be tough. Not just the criticism he's gotten, but the fact that that's a legitimate question. And I think it is. I mean, here's how I would phrase it. I mean, Giannis is a terrific player. Let me take nothing away from him. I mean, dude is a beast. Every team gets better if they add him. There's a reason I think a lot of people are already talking about his free agency, because I think it sort of indicates, one, that maybe the Bucks roster isn't quite talented enough, but two, there's an innate understanding that he's the kind of guy that needs to play with someone else. You know, if he's almost, in a sense, like, he's a big, right? I mean, Shaq had Kobe and Wade and guys like Giannis doesn't have that, a guy that can create for him. So I think that's part of the reason you see that. Nevertheless, when you're the two-time MVP, you should be able to, like I said, you can't really be the most valuable player if you're not getting your own shot, and you should generally be the best player on the floor. But I think it's a legit question. Like, if I phrase the question like this, going into a playoff series, who would you rather have on your team? Who would you take, Jimmy Butler or Giannis Antetokounmpo? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. Want to remind you today at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, CBS Sports Network gets on the gridiron at West Point as the Army Black Knights welcome Middle Tennessee. Don't miss college football on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Wow, it's wild. You know, some of the stuff I want to get to as well, including the Steve Nash hire by the Brooklyn Nets and the return of football, as I just mentioned. It almost hasn't settled in. It almost doesn't feel real yet, does it, that the NFL is actually back or almost back. College football is going to be played. But I think especially with the NFL, it's days away now. Not weeks, not months, not years, but days away. We'll get into that as well. But the questions right now, concern level for the Lakers. Are the Lakers in any trouble after getting blown out by the Rockets, or at least the Rockets pulled away in game one of that series? 855-212-4227. And who would you take going into a playoff series? You have your choice. Jimmy Butler or Giannis Antetokounmpo. One guy has been considered a good player, but never put quite in that upper stratosphere. The other guy is about to win a back-to-back MVP, and I think it's a real question. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
That is the telephone number. The questions right now, reacting out of the NBA last night. What's the level of concern for the Lakers? Could they be in any trouble? Or was it a typical LeBron James game one performance? The feel-out game, if you will. He sees how teams are guarding him. He tries to get his teammates involved, tries to get a feel for the pace of the series and adjusts. I mean, you know, I think in the championships he's won, I think he lost game one every single time as well, and has a history of not playing to his best and his team's not playing to their best in game one. Nevertheless, I think the Lakers have some concern level from the coach on the sideline, not impressed with Frank Vogel's rotations last night. 855-212-4227. The other question is, who would you take going into a playoff series? Giannis Antetokounmpo or Jimmy Butler? That after Miami goes up 3-0 and about to sweep the Milwaukee Bucks out of the NBA playoffs. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Scott in St. Louis. Scott, you're up first here on CBS Sports Radio.
Morning. Good morning. I want to do a Dallas double dip, starting off with the Mavs, going to the Cowboys at the end. But with the Mavs, with Luka teaming up, I think if Giannis is going into Dallas, and there's a lot of talk and speculation that that's going to happen, I could see a Kobe Shaq scenario there. And I think that would be an absolute perfect match. They would match, and they would be an absolute tear in the NBA. And I really see that could last for many years. What do you think about that?
I think the Giannis speculation is going to start, obviously, right? I mean, he's not a free agent this summer, but after next year. And, you know, there's reason people believe he would leave, the support system not being good enough around him, market and all that. You know, he seems to like the area, and he's a different sort of cat as far as being, the way he's wired. But, yeah, I mean, look, if you're putting anybody with – look, if Porzingis is healthy, I think the Mavericks are a problem for people going forward. If they were to be able to land Giannis somehow, absolutely. I mean, I think the teams you look at, whether it be, you know, Miami, who they're playing right now, or, you know, whether it be the Warriors and you've got the Splash Brothers and Giannis or Luka Doncic and Giannis – anywhere that Giannis chooses to go, I think it's, you know, he is that level of player, right? And yeah, Luka Doncic, I mean, to me is a top five guy in the NBA already. So, of course.
Absolutely. And I would love to see that. I hope that happens in Dallas. Moving on to the NFL season coming up with the Cowboys, there's also some speculation that they may possibly sign Earl Thomas maybe after week one or maybe after week two. That's yet to be seen. But I think with the wide receiver corps that they have going into the season and the new coaching staff and everything, I think they look like a solid contender. What do you feel about them?
You know, I have to get a feel for the NFL season. It's hard to know going in, you know, the way things work. A lot of people thought the Cowboys were Super Bowl contenders a year ago, and they turned out to be more or less mediocre. I think I'm a Dak Prescott guy. You know, I think that Dak Prescott is probably at the top of tier two of quarterbacks in the NFL. Not a tier one quarterback, and I appreciate the call, but the top of tier two. And if you look at the Cowboys last year, they were outscored. I mean, they did outscore their opponents by like 113 over the course of the season, which would indicate they had a little bit of bad luck and things, if they break their way a little bit this year, that could help. I think explosive plays. That's what I'm wondering about with Dallas. Who's giving them their explosive plays? Because that's something they might miss a little bit at times. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC East, and it has to be completely up for grabs there. So I think the Cowboys' floor is solid, and their ceiling is very good, and they'll land somewhere in between those two. How about Adam in Dallas? Adam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Adam?
Not much. Hey, I got to say, I really enjoy your show. Your style's good. You do do a lot of work based on facts, and so it's nice to hear. So
thank you.
You know, my take on this is that right now it's clear cut. Jimmy Butler's playing better than Giannis, and I, you know, to be honest, I think that I heard a rumor. You know, it doesn't seem like Milwaukee really wants to be there. You know, they're just not into it. And you know, the last caller, I like the Giannis to Dallas rumor also. I like that a lot. And finally, I don't think that Harden and Westbrook, they've never closed before, so I'm going to stick with the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I wouldn't draw any conclusions after a game one there, and I appreciate the call and the compliment. I'm not drawing any conclusions. I think we've all gotten, for the most part, any sensible person's gotten there. There's just generally a level of LeBron-related hysteria whenever one of his teams goes down. But then there is, you know, what you see from, like, you know, game one told you the story between Miami and Milwaukee, right? So I don't want to just throw it in the trash either. There's somewhere in between, but I think we'll know by game two. I honestly think I said the same thing in the Portland series. Game two, I'll know. I'll know who's going to win the series, I think, after game two, whether it be Houston or LA.
Making weekends great, one Saturday at a time. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Anthony, you want to hear a crazy number?
Give it to me.
Do you know LeBron's teams? I looked it up during the break. 1-6 in his last 7 game ones.
Yeah, now I remember after the game one against the Trailblazers, I know everyone was panicking and thinking the Trailblazers were going to win.
But you just wouldn't expect, like, I know, like, his game one feel out. You just wouldn't expect with a player of his ilk who's won as many playoff series as he has for it to even be that way. Like,
to have that much, yeah. To have that much trouble in game ones.
They obviously beat Portland after losing game one.
Yeah.
That's 1-6. The overall record would be they lost two of those series where they were 1-6, both to Golden State. Obviously, the year both the Durant Golden State teams. So that the year after they won the title, they lost game one and wound up losing that series in 5. That was a really good Cavs team, by the way. And then the other game one that he lost to the Warriors is sort of contrary to the point, because I think it's the best game I've ever seen anyone play. And that was in 2018 in the finals when that was the J.R. Smith forgetting the score game and all that stuff. They wound up getting swept in that series. But the rest of those series in between, they lost to Indiana. They wound up winning that series in 7 games, I believe. Then they beat Boston in 7 games and Portland in 5 games. So a history of struggling in those game ones.
And how about Jimmy Buckets, boy? I mean, and you've talked about him in the past and just how much, you know, Philly missed him. But, I mean, he totally transformed that Miami Heat team.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler, look, he's the kind of guy who he helps in so many different ways. He is a guy who can get his own shot, can create for himself, can get to the free throw line. He can also distribute for others with the ball in his hands and facilitate an offense. Defensively, he can guard multiple positions. He's strong on the glass. I mean, Jimmy Butler is just a terrific all-around player, and he doesn't really care about his individual stats. You know, I don't think he gives a damn. And in fact, you know, it's the perfect insight into his personality. They asked about family and stuff. He said he didn't invite anybody. This is a business trip for him. So that's the mentality that Jimmy Butler has, and it's one of the reasons we've been asking the question, who you'd take going into a playoff series, Jimmy Butler or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Outscored Milwaukee all by himself in that fourth quarter yesterday, 17-13.
He's one of the players I trust the most in the league in those situations. He's on the very short list. In fact, I think it might be LeBron, Kawhi, and Butler. That's probably my top three. I mean,
and like you and like you said, just the attitude that he brings to that team. I mean, that team is fearless, man. Like, they are not intimidated by anybody. Like, they went into this series like feeling like we can beat this team.
And they're going to beat that team.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
They're going to beat them now. It's over. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Brian in Milwaukee. Brian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brian? Brian, you there? Let's see if we've got – I mean, I know it. Let's go to Larry in Detroit while we figure out the situation with Brian. What's going on, Larry?
Okay. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm on peaceful. I just want to say one thing. You know, I'm 70 years old. You know, I've been watching basketball a long time, and I'm a former player. And the one thing I learned, you know, is just coaches usually, when stuff's not going right, they usually make adjustments. You know, and this guy from Milwaukee, he won't make no adjustments. He see that they taking a page out of Toronto's book last year in regards to cutting off Giannis when he tried to go into his right. That's the only place he can't go to us. He can't go to his left that good. They block it up the center. And once they block up the center, it's basically his whole game. And they're not getting any help. Just think about this for a minute. This guy Matthews, the guy Matthews from Milwaukee, look at his stats. Look at George Hill. I mean, them guys, I don't think they're getting 7 to 8 points a game. Matthews, I haven't even heard him making a basket. You cannot beat them like that. You know, and I want to get back to L.A., same thing, you know, LeBron, that really mad me when he played with Cleveland and he didn't have too much production besides Anthony Davis. He don't have any other help, and them guys can't hit the side of LeBron. Again, you got to make adjustments. The guy from Milwaukee, just the third game, so evidently something wasn't going right, and he haven't made not one adjustment. And Miami, them guys shooting. Thank you.
Yeah, look, and Budenholzer got some criticism for the amount of minutes that Giannis is playing, and Middleton as well. But it's fair to criticize him. I mean, he's now has a history of being a coach whose teams are great in the regular season, but not so much in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Look, part of it's personnel. Part of it's the Bucks overachieve. You know, their regular season record is probably better than their team would indicate if you're just looking and reading off the roster. If I were to say, you know, I say Giannis, and then beyond Giannis, I go Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, Wes Matthews, Marvin Williams, George Hill, Kyle Korver, Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton. You know, you're not blown away by that. So that's part of it. Part of it's the opponent. I mean, Miami is versatile. Miami could shoot the ball. A lot of that stuff. Part of it's the coach not making those adjustments, like you just mentioned. And part of it's the best player isn't the kind of guy who can go get his own. So all those things add up to a Miami sweep. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go back to Brian in Milwaukee. Brian, you there, man?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
All right. Well, yeah, it's certainly disappointing. Unfortunately, you're right. It you know, certainly looks like Miami's going to win this thing, if not in a sweep, you know, pretty shortly after that. You know, the frustrating thing is, it's like you were mentioning, it's not just one thing you can put your finger on that this is the issue. And the caller right before me, you know, he is right. A lot of people talking about Coach Budenholzer not making adjustments, especially in-game adjustments. You know, that's an issue. What's going to be really disappointing is if Giannis does choose not to re-up on his Supermax and then he just gets away without the Bucks getting anything in return. That's going to be pretty devastating for this franchise. You know, I think they got to try to at least get some indication from him one way or the other. You know, are you going to sign for the Supermax here? Are you interested in moving on? And, I mean, if he's interested in moving on, at that point, I don't think you have any other options but to try to trade him and get the best return you can. The franchise did that one other time back in the 70s when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted to leave and he went to L.A. They got a pretty good return for what they got for him, and this franchise was good up to the late 1980s after that trade.
Well, I'm surprised we're there already, even from like the Milwaukee fan base. You know, like the outside media is there, but you're already considering the trade Giannis option. I mean, and you're not wrong from a logical standpoint. You're not wrong, but it is a little wild, right? That you would go into a season and have the kind of season that the Bucks have had, and be one of the favorites going into the playoffs, and have a guy who's been there his whole career and hasn't indicated he wants to leave for any reason, and have him under contract for another year, and you're already talking about shipping him out. But it's dark days ahead if Giannis leaves Milwaukee for nothing in return, too. Those would be dark days, for sure. Oof. I mean, that's going to be the talk of the NBA for a while, especially with a long offseason. I mean, because after this season ends, when are they going to play again? December? January? February even? So it's going to be a minute after the conclusion of this season before we see those guys back out on the court. And the courtship of Giannis has already begun. How about Matthew in Dallas? Matthew, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just want to get your thoughts on Giannis possibly getting signed by the Mavericks once his contract is up in Milwaukee and being like a 1B for Dallas, you know, Luka being the 1A, and then having Porzingis, and, you know, who do you think else would be like a number 3 for Dallas? Thank you.
Well, if those are your number 1 and 2, who you have as number 3 gets less and less important. you know, Porzingis and Giannis sort of play the same position. I think they could work together at times, but I don't really like that as a pair, especially on the defensive end. You know, that's part of Porzingis already struggles moving in space on defense when teams are, you know, are spreading the floor. So when you put it with Giannis, that basically is playing two big men, and that's just not the trend that the NBA is in. I mean, it's one of my criticisms of the Lakers at times. Anthony Davis, I think, should be a center, and there's been talk about pairing Davis and Giannis as well with the Lakers. Not perfect. I mean, some of that stuff works. They can, you know, Porzingis can shoot, so he can spread the floor. You could stagger their minutes some, so I'm not saying, obviously, you don't go get Giannis. But he's not the natural three if Giannis is on the team. You know, the natural three would be something like what Tim Hardaway Jr. is bringing. Now, he's not necessarily consistent enough either, but I think if you've got Luka and Giannis, considering their age and their talent, I mean, that's the foundation for not just a championship-level team, but a dynastic-level team. So, yeah, what do I think about the Mavericks adding Giannis? I think it's trouble for the rest of the league if that happens. I also think we're a little bit ahead of our skis right now, right? I know that's been a function of how the NBA has been discussed a lot in recent years. Basically, you know, where somebody's going to wind up, if they're going to leave, and all that. And it's obviously something people want to talk about. It just feels a little hasty to me. I'm not there yet. My brain hasn't gotten to where Giannis might be next already. You know, that we're still in the midst of the current playoffs. He's still under contract for Milwaukee next year. There's going to be plenty of time to get to that conversation. But obviously, a lot of people thinking that way. And I think how the Bucks approach it is actually the more interesting. I mean, it's not that interesting to me to say, like, oh, how would this team look with him? Well, the teams that are going to get him, we're all going to look awesome if they get him, right? If the Warriors get Giannis, they're going to look awesome. If the Mavericks get Giannis, they're going to look awesome. If, you know, whomever, the type of team that he's going to go to, if he does decide to leave, he would likely be doing so in order to pursue championships, right? And a co-star. I do think, to your broader point, when you said 1A and 1B, I do think that's kind of what Giannis needs. I think he needs that guard or wing who is going to create. And then he can do the stuff he does and not get the criticism he's received from guys like me for not being that guy down the end of the games, because that's just not who he is. And you know, that can be okay too, right? Like, we didn't expect that from big men of the past. I guess you did when you used to go into the block, and that's how points were manufactured at the end of games. But the way the game's played now, and even in the Shaq-Kobe era, no one was looking to Shaq for what he did on the final possession or something like that. Shaq was putting his imprint on the entire game. And I think that's the position Giannis needs to be in, where he's putting his imprint on the entire game, but when it comes down to money time, it's somebody else. You know, just the way Jimmy Butler does it for Miami. If Jimmy Butler was on Giannis's team, he would be the guy doing that. He would be the guy doing that, and that would be okay. But yeah, I think that's the ideal role for Giannis himself. Surprised we've already moved past. We're just like, yeah, we're on. We're on to the next. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. We can keep that conversation going about Giannis' future. I had been asking you who you would take going into a playoff series, Giannis or Jimmy Butler. Talking about the Lakers losing game one to the Houston Rockets, any level of concern there, 855-212-4227. And coming up, we'll get into some football, but I also want to touch on the Steve Nash hire from the Brooklyn Nets, or by the Brooklyn Nets, I guess more appropriately, and some of the reaction that came as a result of that hire and why they may have made that hire of Steve Nash. I have some thoughts on that. That's all coming up at Robin Lundberg on Twitter, R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. Again, the telephone number here is 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in, plenty of stuff to get to. Sports are in, they're back in business, right? I mean, we're about to have NFL, NBA, MLB, college football, all simultaneously. So if you were, you know, you needed your sports fix, well, you got it. Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.